Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at teresagreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Hi.
Hey, Teresa, how's it going?
Hi, Manny.
Was that the first time we're having lunch together? I think so.
Yes.
I think so. It was good. I didn't realize how quickly the time went by.
I know, and we're having fun.
And then even Otto said, well, we should have been recording that whole conversation. Well, bits of it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Good to have you back. We're going to call somebody new.
Yes.
Okay, who are we talking to?
We're going to talk to Cecil McIntosh.
Cool.
All right, so I'm going to give him a call. Hello.
Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yes. Can we, Otto, how is it?
Sounds good.
So I want to introduce you to Manny, my co-host.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, I am misbehaving.
That's a good way to do things.
And having fun, he said.
Nice.
Yep.
So Cecil, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Okay, a bit of background. I was very, very successful in sales for over 15 years. And I was always hustling to make money. But I made the money and I didn't know when to stop. So I had two major significant catastrophes. I was divorced and bankrupt the same week.
Oh,
the
boy.
Same week.
Yes.
Okay, that's a hard week.
Right. So I went and got some therapy. But I also had a lot of noise in the background. Can you hear
him? We can hear a little bit of noise in the background, but no, we can still hear you. Yeah.
And I went and got some therapy, but then I had a chronic lower back pain.
Mm-hmm.
And a little voice said, you came to Canada, your grandma raised you in Barbados, and you ignore everything she taught you for chasing money. Now, open your home every Monday evening, teach what you know, and your back pain will disappear within 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
I did, and I haven't had a back pain now for over 30 years.
Yeah, no, I was like, what are you teaching? What's the secret?
Yeah, I was about to ask the same question, yes.
I'm going to say it. And those teachers, over those years, have now morphed into the business life balancer.
Mm.
Because what happens is that we have an issue with making money and living,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
We make the money to be happy.
That's what
and
we believe.
And when we make the money, then we're still not happy.
Right.
So I'm a perfect example. So since I've done that, now I've come to a point where I'm saying you can have everything. You can have all the money you want and be happy.
How?
So that's why it's called a business life balancer. Because when you come to me, I will help you understand where are you out of balance and correct that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were making a lot of money, I'm assuming you weren't happy.
No, I thought I was happy. Sorry, I was happy making the money. But I wasn't interested in anything else. Everything else didn't matter.
You were happy making the money. You were happy because of the profits that were associated with the money or what the money can give you?
I have all the, I had the investments, I had the cars, the custom made clothes, I had the works.
And that was making you happy. So when you achieve these things and you purchase these items, you were happy. In your mind, you were happy.
Yes, I was happy. Although I had chronic back pain.
a lot of bad. But how are you? But I'm presuming that your relationship was, or relationships weren't very happy.
Oh, I didn't have a relationship. Let's be frank about that. I was married, but I didn't have a relationship.
You never saw each other.
No, I had a home. I had kids and everything else. But there was nothing. My kids I looked after, but the wife and I, there was nothing really. We were just there.
Yes.
Because I was making the money. That was it. But there was nothing really in the relationship.
Yeah. And Cecil, why do people get lost in that? There's lots of people that are making the money. The man is out and he's the primary breadwinner and paying for all the things and working hard and thinking that's all that maybe he has to do is just work and pay the bills and you were content doing that. But is...
Yes. Go ahead.
But it was having an impact.
Yes.
On your partner, but not on you.
Well, my partner, she had a different agenda. Right, she wasn't very supportive, so that's a whole other story.
She wasn't very supportive.
No, but I looked after my two kids. I had my two kids. I looked after them. I would come home from work. I would pick them up from the park, bring them home, put them in a tub, and give them a bath. So I looked after my children.
Did she have her own career?
Yes.
Okay, so she was also making money and being happy that way.
Yes.
Okay.
And so when you say that you help people with balance, is it because you recognized that your life was out of balance?
That's right. That's why I went divorce and bankrupt, because all I was doing was focusing on making money. You can't live life like that.
Which came first? I'm curious. Was it the divorce came first or the bankrupt came first?
Same week.
But the exact same day? Is that the idea? Or
week. Same week. Same week.
Okay, in that week, though, which one were you brought to attention to first?
The bankruptcy. That was a key factor. That took me for a loop.
Got it.
Because I made everything and then I lost it, and I can believe that I was such a dumb person. So that woke me up.
Aha. Uh-huh. And so with the clients that you work with now. When people are out of balance, like how do people need to wake up to the fact that they're out of balance? Maybe a lot of people don't think that they are because they feel relatively happy doing the things that they're doing. Like maybe it is spending too much time at work. How can someone know that they're out of balance?
Well, let me give you a perfect example. I work with over 2,000 heart, stroke, and cancer patients in hospitals. I taught relaxation by the bedside in 3 minutes. So I asked the question, what are you guys doing in here? How come you have, these issues? The general consensus was, we're going to make the money first and then we look after our health.
Mm-hmm.
That's the American dream, the North American dream.
So one gentleman, after I did a session, he came to me, he says, my name is Harry. You're Cecil Rice, yeah? My name is Harry. I'm 60 years old. I'm in here because I had a stroke. I was trying to prove to my dad that I can play a game called cricket. My dad has passed on, and I'm still trying to prove to it. And you came along, and in less than 3 minutes, I have this aha moment. And I realize how silly I am, and it's time for me to go home and spend time with my family. He said it was just a split second is all I needed. And thank you very much.
So it's this technique that you taught him that helped him to know?
Well, basically, here's what's happening. We are not pausing. We don't know how to pause.
No, we don't.
We were never taught how to pause.
Mm-hmm.
It's not taught in university, it's not taught anywhere. So we do not know how to pause. So we go through life running through the red light. But you know that there's a yellow light. And when you come to that light, you're supposed to pause at the yellow light so that when you get to the red light, your car is right before the white line. But we have not been taught to pause. That's one thing. So let's look at the people who are doing mindfulness, yoga, and the spiritual people. They're doing what they're doing, especially the teachers. They're doing what they're doing. But what happens is, as teachers, they get caught up too.
Yes.
And they forget to pause. I see them all day long. They forget to pause. And sometimes when as teachers, they don't recognize that they need to continually to live, because they get caught up with making the money. So they're not living. And I see them all day long. I can mind my own business, but that's what I'm noticing.
Are we on a wheel? Is that the idea, that the more money we make, the more that we keep pushing forward and not pausing? Is that what happens with everybody?
Well, let me give you a better example. Let's assume that you had a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just assume that you didn't, somebody did you, somebody was driving and cut you off.
Okay.
Right? So you're mad. And then they cut you off and you're mad. And you say, they're damn fool, and they're this, and they're that, and they're that, and they're that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are 5 or 6 thoughts. And those thoughts take you down the rabbit hole. So somebody cuts you off, you're down the rabbit hole. You're talking to your partner, and your partner says something to you, and there is a thought, and you're saying, well, how can she be so dumb, or this, or that, or that. There's another set of thoughts. You're down the rabbit hole again. And if you say, well, I have an issue with money, and then you say, when is the money going to come in? And you get thought up. So there's 3 different situations where you're down the rabbit hole. That's how we live our lives. But we don't know that we're down the rabbit hole. When you're down the rabbit hole, you're wound up. You cannot hear or see or know anything. There's no clarity. So when clients come to me, I know they're down the rabbit hole. So the first thing I do is I help them to get clarity. So that's the problem.
You help them to recognize that their thoughts are creating blocks to their happiness.
Yes. But sometimes I don't tell them, sometimes I do, because it depends on the person. I can be very subtle about what I do, but they get results instantly. Because what I do is instant.
And what is this instant clarity that you do?
But basically, when you come to see me, you're running an overdrive.
Yeah.
So I might, depending on the situation, I can tell you a story, right? I can take you to a positive state of mind very quickly, so that you shift out of that. That's what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, the whole question with that is that we are unable to keep that state. But
yes.
I get you out of it, and then I teach you how to stay out of it. That's what I do. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to share some of that with us or not? You going to share some of that with us?
My grandmother told me, when you have what you have, you never keep it, you share it.
Oh,
so
beautiful.
I'm going to share it with you, right?
Thank goodness.
But before I share it with you, I want to give you another understanding that's creating a problem.
Okay.
Because I'm a I am a non-dual teacher, a spiritual non-dual teacher. I'm going to come from that angle now, which is a little different.
Okay.
What it means is that there's no you and I. Like, there's no, I'm the subject and you the object, right? There's no, well, there's this person who is better than me, or like nobody, like I shouldn't go there, but maybe I should go there. Like, God is up there and you're down here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't come from that perspective. The perspective we come from is, you and I are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, if you and I are the same, and you and I have, I'm working with you, and you're doing something that I don't think is appropriate, I can have compassion for you because you and I are the same. Mm-hmm. So I step into your shoes and I have compassion on you. So I'm not going to fight with you. So
yeah.
But the fighting comes because I think I'm better than you. I have a bigger house than you, a bigger car than you. That's where the problem comes in. There's that separation.
Yes.
So where I come from, there's no separation. It's just love.
Yes, all one.
But that's the North American dream, right? Everybody's always trying to beat the Joneses. Everyone's always wanting to be better than the neighbor. Everybody wants to get the promotion at the job. Everybody wants to succeed more, to brag. Everybody wants. Right. Everybody wants. Nobody wants to give.
But here's the other piece to that. The reason why that's happening is most of us, like myself, we are focused on the outside.
Yes.
Right? There is no inside. So there Remy says, there's outside and there's inside separation, right? Outside, inside separation. There's no separation. The same way you behave on the inside, you're supposed to behave on the outside.
Yes.
But we don't know that. Like, it's like you're in a relationship, and one minute your partner behave a certain way, and next minute she behave another way. Right? Mm-hmm. Or there's abuse happening here, abuse happening there. Instead of the partner understanding that you are one, and we all have faults, and nobody's perfect. And we need to step into each other's shoes and be respectful of each other and bring each other along. That's not happening. That's where the whole problem is coming in.
But the majority of people...
And because we're down the rabbit hole...
Sorry. No, go ahead.
And because we're down the rabbit hole, we all wound up. We like wound up dogs. We don't know anything. We've been lost.
So can I ask how you paused when you had that week and all of a sudden you had to change things?
Well, I'll tell you something. When I went up to the I went to the lawyer's office, and when I got out of that car, my feet was as though I was walking in lead boots, and I struggled to get to the lawyer's office. I went again to the lawyer's office. He opened the door, and he offered me a seat. My body was like a board; it was so stiff. I couldn't even sit. And when he handed me that pen and I signed that document, in that moment, there was a pause. There was a moment of joy. And I asked the question, what do I need to fix the situation? And that's what changed everything for me. So we always get these pauses, but we don't pay attention to them.
No, what we've been talking about, Cecil, is that these pauses, because we were talking about this on one of the other shows, is being filled by people picking up their cell phones and losing themselves in their phone. That nobody stands in the line up at the grocery store just pausing, looking around. Maybe lost, as I said, lost in their daydream or lost in just nothingness sometimes when you just zone out. Nobody allows themselves. Even that gets filled by mindless searching on their apps and social media.
Yes. But the challenge is that the bottom line is that it comes from us not having the compassion. Right, we're too clouded to have the compassion to respect each other and to step into each other's shoes. That's where it comes from. But if you have compassion on other people, there would be more love, and we will go inside. But the challenge is we don't have any mechanism to go inside and stay inside. We talk about it, we intellectualize about it, but we don't know how to do it.
Is it because the majority of us are selfish?
No, it's your programming. You've been programmed to behave this way from the time you were a child.
To achieve.
Not being selfish.
To achieve these things, to excel.
Yeah.
Get married, have a house, buy a car, buy a cottage, buy these possessions.
I'm blessed as I've spent over 20,000 hours teaching relaxation. That's my special gift. But that's something that's unique to me, right? Because I'm from Barbados, and that's the culture I came up in. So that's the foundation where I come from. So that's why when it comes to pausing, I can tell you not many people are doing it. Because I've spent so many hours doing it. Mm-hmm.
And it only takes, you said, 2 or 3 minutes?
It can take 1 minute. Maximum 3 minutes.
And will you be able to walk us through what that's like?
Okay, I'm going to demonstrate it to you. How do you pronounce your name again? Is it Teresa or Tresha?
Teresa.
Teresa. Teresa, here's what I want to know for you. I want you to think of something that's bugging you. I don't want to know, right? And please don't think of anything big. Take a small situation. Nothing big. You with me?
Okay.
So let me know when you can find something that's small. Don't give me something big, because it's gonna mess up the whole process.
Okay.
So now you have it, right?
Yes.
Now, I want you to take a moment now, and I want you to go to a place of relaxation.
And how do I get there?
No, I want you to go in your mind to go to a place of relaxation.
Oh, I see. Okay. And do you recommend people close their eyes when they do that?
It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. As long as you go there, how you get there is irrelevant. I don't have rules or regulations.
Okay.
Everybody's different, right?
Okay.
So you just go to a place of relaxation, right?
Okay.
Are you there?
Yes.
Good. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count from 1 to 3. And you're going to breathe in. And then I'm going to pause. And then I'm going to count from 1 to 3 again. And you're going to breathe out. Do you understand the instructions?
Yes.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Let's do it again. 1, 2, 3. Breathing out. 1, 2, 3. One more time. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Where's the problem? Hello? I can't hear you.
Well, because then you become focused on the stillness and your breath.
It's not there. Problem's gone.
So that's what I teach.
And then how do you stay there? That's the challenge.
Well, then you gotta come to my classes. You just can't do this overnight. What I mean is you've had this conditioning for all these, let's be realistic. You've had this conditioning for all these years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. You need to understand that. You need to work with it to get. I have a 6-week course where I take you through that.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to stop. You need to get somebody who can help you go there.
And right? you realize that you have control over your thoughts.
Yes, mm-hmm. But most people don't unless they hit a wall. They're not going to stop it. They don't want to come and see me.
Mm-hmm.
The people that come and see me are people who hit the wall and they, there's nowhere to go. Then they're all open to receive everything I have to give them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
it's very simple.
Why can't it be a big problem right now? Why can't it be a big problem?
Because, as I said, you remember you've done a rabbit hole, right?
Mm.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've done a rabbit hole, you're not thinking.
Yep.
But you have too many thoughts running in your head.
Okay.
And you've done a rabbit hole, and maybe it's so many different situations in your life. Done a rabbit hole with health, relationship, finances. You're down in the rabbit hole in 3 different situations. So where is the clarity? You can't think. You're just a robot.
It's the sourcing of the clarity. That's what we're after.
Yes, you got to get to you got to come back to your true nature. And the other thing you would like to know is what I did with you just now, when you went into that place, that was the divine you were in.
Yes.
Let me repeat myself. That pause was the divine.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing, when you did that, there was nothing, there were no thoughts whatsoever.
No.
And that's what happened to me when I went divorced and bankrupt and I signed that paper. I was in that state of mind. And I asked that question, that state of mind, and it changed my life completely.
But then by then it was too late with your wife.
Oh, my wife, that was not an issue anymore. I realized I'd made a mistake. I recognized that very easily. As a matter of fact, to give you a quick story, I'm from Barbados, and there were four girlfriends that I was talking to when we were younger. And she came to Canada and the other 3 were in Barbados. So after we got divorced now, I went back to Barbados and those 3 women explained to me in detail how dumb I was. And they gave me all the signs and signals and they were right because I wasn't aware of what I was doing. So I've developed a process now where I teach you that you must know what values you need before you get into a relationship. So when you, these values I teach you, there are four things you must have, and the person must bring those four values to you. And when that happens, you only have about 10% to deal with. But the person, whatever issues you have, the person will bring to you.
And so
relationships become a lot better.
Yeah. And so in the end, was it that there really wasn't anything wrong with your ex-wife? That it actually had to do more with you?
I mean, not necessarily wrong. She had her own way of looking at life, which was way out of balance because of the issues she had from her childhood.
Oh, I see.
Right? So I understood that, but I understood it now by the time I didn't understand it. So that was it.
No, because you said that those three other women helped you to realize something, but it wasn't about your relationship with the one that you ended up marrying.
They said she was the worst. She was the worst of all of them. Oh. I could have chosen anybody else and done better.
But we're men; we always go after the worst.
and they said, and they give me a specific details. I was so ashamed of myself after they finished talking to me. When they gave me the details.
I see. So basically, in your experience, in your opinion, what's holding people back from their happiness is not being aware that they need to take a pause, that we're actually all one, and we need to take time to connect with the divine, our divine as well.
But you can't get to that divine part yet. You got to hold part that divine part right now. You can't get there yet.
You got to work your way up to that.
Yeah, unless you are first aware that you know that you have an issue. Mm. If you walk in the house and you bump into things, simple things. You ride a bicycle and you bump into something. You keep on you take the can and put it in the fridge. I'm talking about young people, not about old people. These are things that people are doing on a daily basis, but they don't realize that those are messages to tell them to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
We get messages all day long, but we're not paying attention.
Yeah.
So until you become aware and you stop paying attention, nothing is going to change.
And I'm confused as to why you said the divine is something that you have to work up to. I'm confused about that because we are of the divine. Our spiritual self is
yes.
Part
and you don't really want to go. You don't want to go there with me now, right now. Let me tell you about that before you get into asking any questions. Let me jump all over you. Let me tell you a quick story. This lady, she used to live in the country, and she used to when she went to have a shower, there was a pond right beside her, and she would go in the pond and wash her hair. She comes to the city. And for a whole week, she complained she can't wash her hair because she don't have no pond. She don't know how to wash her hair. So somebody said, there's a wise man down the street. Go talk to him. She go talk to the wise man. The wise man said, tell me something. Where you live? An apartment? She said, yes. Is there a sink in the apartment? Yeah. Is there a toilet in the apartment? She said, yeah. Is there a curtain in the apartment? She said, yeah. He said, go back home and pull the curtain. She came back smiling the next day. She says, she didn't know the shower behind the curtain.
I get it.
The point I'm making is our divine is veiled from us because of our conditioning. We don't have to go anywhere and look for it. It's right there. But just like the lady, she didn't know all she had to pull back the curtain.
Yeah, why is that? Why is it that, and I feel like religion is very much contributes to this. I know I had a lot of resentment towards my own religion for not allowing me to know that the divine was in me, of me, around me, making me believe that it was only at church and that's where you have to go to connect with it, not saying that we are of the divine, that our spiritual self, which I believe is always loving, at peace and happy, is the essence of who we are, our original self, the infinite and eternal part. So why is it that we don't, that we're kept separate from that awareness?
Because you're down the rabbit hole chasing your thoughts. So you can't, if you're down in rabbit holes, chasing your thoughts, there's no clarity.
You can't focus.
And what we do is we chase our thoughts. So let me give you a good example. Let's say that you didn't have any money, right?
Okay.
And you said, Cecil, I don't have any money, and I can't afford this, and I can't afford that, and I can't afford it. Well, I can't invest in this program because I don't have any money, right?
Okay.
And then so if I say to you, go back to that thought when you said you didn't have any money. Well, let's go for you do it right now. You say you don't have any money, right? That's the thought you have. So okay. What you guys imagine you have that thought. You with me so far?
Yep.
Yes.
Now, here's what I want you to do now. I have all these thoughts going on. So now all these thoughts running down the rabbit hole. So all I want you to do now is go back to the time where you say, I don't have any money, right? You're there now. Yeah. I want you to pause. Pause right now. Tell me what happened.
Just a nothingness.
There's no thoughts. That's the secret.
But the challenge is staying there. That's like in the challenge in meditation. You get to a place of nothingness, and then the monkey brain keeps trying to intrude on that, right? That's what the Zen monks challenges, that it's like, how do you stay in that without allowing the thoughts to come back in and pull you away?
That's what I teach. Mm-hmm. Exactly what I teach.
So I want to ask you, is it to find this pause? It doesn't matter who you are or what your job, career, what you do for a living. Do you have to sometimes go to an extreme? Is that where we see certain situations where you got wealthy individuals who just quit their job and then they just go do other things that put a smile on their face? Is it about letting go of the chase and just chase the happiness instead of the dollar?
Yes. But you see what happens is sometimes we let go of it, but we still are not understanding that what the reason why we let go. We don't understand what we did, so we can duplicate it.
We're going to repeat.
Yes. We got to understand it because we relapse.
Yes.
So what I teach you is that when the teachers are in a non-dual perspective, there's no relapse.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not perfect, but at least you know the steps to go, so that if something happens, you know what to do about it. Mm-hmm. So there's really no relapse. It's just a journey to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know
practice.
What you need to do.
Yes, yeah, and it takes
and you're not
practice.
Perfect, so you're going to screw up because you're not perfect, right? But you know it's a different way, and you know that it's a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. And you know it's the only way. It's the truth.
What's the name of your course?
Well, I have a particular program called you talk about the course or what I teach?
No, what you teach. So when, if anybody's curious about reaching out to you, that they can reach out to you and how to find you, right?
That's basically, if you want to find me, the easiest way to find me would be to call the Cecil McIntosh. We'll take them to a GIF.
Okay.
Call Cecil. We'll take them to a GIF.
But call a phone number?
No. Call with Cecil. It's like a website. It's a web address. Call with Cecil. Call with Cecil.com. We'll take them to a free GIF.
Okay.
Or if they go to CecilMcIntosh.com.
Okay.
Right? On my website, they're free gifts. So you will see the same free GIF in there.
Got it. Okay. I understand. All right.
So if you want to check, right? So that's what it's all about. And not many people are understand this. My whole goal is that I would like to teach entrepreneurs to live like this.
Mm-hmm.
And if entrepreneurs live like this, this world would change, because now everybody would be everybody. Even the janitor would be respected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my whole objective in life. To let everybody know that they don't have to go and struggle and fight and scream and have impatience and anger and all this kind of stuff happening. It's totally unnecessary.
We're putting ourselves through this.
Yeah.
Can I ask you?
Go ahead.
Did you remarry?
Sure. I've got 5 grandchildren and 4 children. I'm on top of the world. That's why I'm misbehaving like this. And when my grandchildren come to visit me, the parents can't understand. The grandchildren come and talk to me all day long, and the parents can't figure out how they like me so much. And the reason for that is, when my grandchildren come to see me, I hold a container for them. I hold a space for them to come and be to do what they want to do and be themselves. Mm-hmm. The parents can't do that. So when they come to my house, they're all over me. And the parents can't say, well, how come he can't go right and talk to him? Or my grandson will go down in the basement, and I will say, when my grandson comes here, do not force him to come see me. Let him go the way he want to do. And then when my grandson is ready, he comes and says, Grandpa, come here, let me go watch the game on TV. They will do what they do with me because I don't force them to do anything. As a matter of fact, I don't force anybody to do anything. Right? But when you have when you hold a container, the grandchildren love it. My granddaughter says to my daughter one day, oh, when I go out, Grandpa, I'm gonna get lemonade. And she says to me, well, how do you know Grandpa can make lemonade? So Grandpa always make lemonade for me. They know what I'm going to do for them before they get there. There's no question about it. It's consistently consistent. And they know they're going to be loved as well, because remember, when you operate from this, all you have is love.
Yes.
They can sense the energy. They can feel the energy. It's different.
Yes.
So
Go ahead.
Sorry, Cecil, can you say that week that you had that hard week of the bankruptcy and the divorce, was that like the best week of your life?
That was an awesome, as a matter of fact, after that, I got divorced, I rented a house. And I still have a couple of clients. I did not eat anything for the whole week. I drank water. I was on cloud 9. I was so relieved. It was beautiful.
I could see that. Yeah.
And this one lady who was a client came and says to me, how come there's nothing in the fridge? I said, none of your damn business. And she went to the store and told me, bring a basket. So you know why she wanted me to bring the basket? Because she was interested in me. And she wanted me to show next time she got there was food in the house. And we became friends after that. She was very supportive of me after that.
Well, Cecil, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you very much, Cecil. Appreciate it.
Oh, by the way, the people I deal with are women life coaches. That's my specialty.
Yep. I want to look it up. I want to check it out for sure.
We're going to put it all in the show notes.
Yeah, just check out my website and you will get a whole bunch of stuff in there. You see most of the stuff in there on me. And you look at my bio and have a sense of where I've come from and what I did and what I didn't do better. Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time.
Where can I check out the show?
It's on any podcast channel. You just look at any channel. It's on YouTube as well. It'll get posted then. I'll let Teresa know when it gets posted, and then she can share the links with you. And then, you can find it everywhere.
So, that's fine. And anytime you guys are interested in a different perspective, I'm welcome to come on the show. Because I would like this word to get out there and people know this is not a hit or miss.
This is something that
you can live. You can live it. And I'll give you examples that prove to you that you can do it right now.
Thank you.
All right, that's what I teach. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Ah.
How do you know him? How did you guys get connected?
Also on Facebook. I just put a shout out. Anybody wants to, be a part of the show? And Cecil reached out. And
I love that he basically is. He's letting us know everything that we're doing, what he's experienced, but then how he looked at it differently, and then what he thought was the worst situation in his life became the best situation of his life, mm-hmm. as a result of it.
Mm-hmm. I think we all have those crossroad moments in our life. That was what happened to me too, right? Sometimes it's a loss, an accident, an illness, a death. For me, it was the milestone of turning 40 that had me taking a step back and reevaluating my life, that I thought, if I have arrived at half my life at that point, could I imagine living the same life for the next 40 years? and thinking, is this all there is to life? Getting up, going to work, coming home, eating, sleeping, repeating over and over. That's all. That's what this human life is all about. And so in the asking of those questions, and the big one being, am I happy living the life that I'm living? And for me, it didn't make sense because my life looked perfect on the outside. I had achieved all the things that family, society, culture, and religion told me I needed to have a happy life. So fulfilling career, beautiful, healthy family, our own home, cars in the driveway, vacations a year, lots of beautiful material things. And so if my life checked off all the boxes, if I had achieved all the things, how is it that I still felt unhappy and unfulfilled? How is it that I still felt that there was this void in my life, this something missing, and it didn't matter how much more I bought, how much more I did, where I went, what I achieved, what I earned, that void couldn't be filled. And so I realized a couple things, that it started me on a path of self-discovery where I realized two things. Number one, if you feel like something's missing in your life, it could be the real you that's missing. So for me, I was wearing many different masks, trying to be the perfect wife, perfect daughter, perfect daughter-in-law, perfect friend, perfect employee, perfect teacher, trying to live up to external expectations. And I didn't know who I really was. It's like, how does somebody get to 40 years old and not know who she really is? Because my identity was all caught up in my roles and responsibilities of who I thought I needed to be in all of these different spaces. And I'm like, I don't even know who Teresa is, because the Teresa is with a different mask saying, okay, this is what I need to be here. This is what I need to do here. This is what I need to look like here. All because I wanted to be loved, liked, and accepted by other people. So if you feel like there's something missing in your life, ask yourself if you're showing up as the true and authentic self in your life. Is it the real you at work? Is it the real you on social media? Is it the real you in your personal relationships? Or are you presenting yourself in who you think other people want you to be because you want to be liked? So you act a certain way, or you like certain things because you think people are going to like you more if you're like that. But then again, when we talked about the law of attraction, when you're sending out a signal that isn't the real you, you're attracting that which is, that is of the signal. So then you wonder, well, why don't I have people in my life that are like me? I can't find anyone. Well, it's because you're not radiating your authentic signal. So that was the something missing. The other part was that I had been disconnected from my spiritual self, that I had gone to church. I was brought up Catholic. I thought, oh yeah, I believe in God. And you know, you go to church, you listen to the teachings there. And every week you think, yeah, I'm a good person trying to do good things. But that's not really what the spiritual self even is. That's just you going through the motions of like being a good Catholic. That's what that was. Oh, I needed to go to church on, you know, Christmas Day and on Easter, because that's what the good Catholic does.
That's the perception on the outside.
Mm-hmm. All on the outside. And so that part was also the something missing, that I wasn't even aware of that part. And then when I connected through that part, which is a bit about what Cecil was talking about, connecting to that part of yourself, then that's where the wholeness comes into play. Your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual self is the wholeness of who you are. And many of us are disconnected from that, right? We're so connected to our outer being, the personality, the identity, that like someone's, who are you? I'm a father, I'm a lawyer, I'm an uncle, I'm a grandfather. Like that's, but the real you is your inner being. And that's the part that we don't leave space to connect to.
That's what he was talking about regarding the pause, right? You need to pause the performance.
Yeah.
And then just discover who you are.
On the inside, not the outside part, the inside.
I guess everyone maybe might be afraid of revealing the real you because they're concerned that people are not going to like them, but that's not the objective here. The right people will like you. The wrong people will like the performer you. You don't want to be with those people anyway. So that's not the people you want to attract.
But that pause, you know how many people are scared to go into that? Into the like being by themselves, being in silence, because they're scared to go there.
Yeah.
I know somebody said, like, I don't want to be by myself, because being by myself means that then she needs to go into with her thoughts or her feelings and realize, oh, shit, maybe my life, you know, I'm not happy in the life that I'm living. That when you take a pause and you reflect on what you're doing and becoming consciously aware, that's something else that he was saying, becoming consciously aware of what you're doing in every moment, becoming mindful of your life, that for some people can be scary, which is why they're like, oh, I need to go to events, I need to go to parties, I need to go, because the skeletons live in those dark spaces. The mistakes, the regrets. People are scared to go there, but that's where the healing happens, is when you go in and you meet that part of yourself that you've been avoiding.
That's why I was saying, I was asking about it being the worst week, but it was actually the best week, right? By him having those lead boots, that felt he had lead boots while he was going to this meeting. And at face value, yeah, it appears as if this is going to be the worst of my life.
Yeah.
But it actually becomes the best of your life. So you got to ask yourself, what are you going through right now? That you at face value are considering that this is brutal. This is bad. I don't want to deal with any of this, but maybe you have to, so then you can get past that and then start enjoying the life that he just shared. He expressed where this, it became all better after that.
And I want to express like that, if anyone's listening that is also at the low point, that you think that there's no way out, that it'll never get better, that that this is bigger than you, that I'm going to use the word God, but some people use spirit, the universe, whatever makes you, that you are never given anything that you can't handle, ever. That the trials and tribulations and challenges and hardships that we've been dealt are because we have what it takes within us to overcome it. We always have what it takes. And that situation is designed to show you that you have certain strengths, qualities, and traits that you haven't discovered yet. And this situation is designed to show you that you have a strength within you, a courage within you, a bravery within you. Maybe it's patience. Maybe it's tenacity. It's grit. It's a lot. Many qualities that situation is designed to say, wow, I didn't know I had that in me. And you won't recognize it at the time. But when you look back and you're like, holy shit, that could have killed me. But then somehow you're still standing. And that's what it's all about, is to know that you are never given anything that you can't overcome, ever. And sometimes the shit is bad. And I listen to stories of people like that are trauma coaches now. And oh my God, the stuff that they had to, almost like, oh, that would have killed me for sure. And I'm like, but would you change any of that situation? They say no, that they wouldn't change anything because it led them to become the people that they are today. And so if anyone's at their low point, to know that that was not designed to like to take you out and to say, I can't do it anymore. That you have what it takes inside you to overcome it. You just have to dig deep and discover those things. And those end up being your superpowers. As Cecil said, it ended up being the things that he now helps people with. And that even the work that I do now, I would never have ever in my wildest dreams have discovered that all the things that I've done on my happiness journey, that the lowest point of my life led me to do.
To build
and,
that.
Yeah. And the goals and aspirations that I have, like I didn't have that like over 10 years ago, but it's like life is doing this, that unfortunately we learn in the shit. I hate that. Like, why do we have to be at those crossroads? Why do we have to be in the lowest points that now our back's against the wall and you have no other way out than up, right? You're at rock bottom now. But that rock bottom is not to like take you out. It's because now you have to dig deep. And maybe it means going inward and looking at a part of yourself that you've been scared to look at because there's trauma there, because there's stuff that happened to you before that you need to look at. But that's the stuff that it's like the stuff of greatness, technically, if you look at it like that. And that those things can become your superpowers to one day take your life to a whole new level. but not only your life, but other people's lives as well.
That was an interesting conversation. I want to look him up and check him out and see what's going on, because there was a lot of interesting things that he said. Very, very interesting things that are, I think, applicable to a lot of people that listen to the show.
Yeah, and it's just a simple pause during the day. Like, just, it's breathing. It's breathing. To be honest, the breathing technique that I like is an inhale for 4 and an exhale for 7. So he did a 3 and 3. Yeah. The exhale for 7 calms the nervous system. So when you're starting to feel like stressed out, overwhelmed, like freak out, you want to fucking punch the wall. Right? You know those moments. It's just to go into your car, go into your truck, go into a bathroom stall, like go for a walk, go outside, go to the gym, like whatever. But breathing is a very quick way that within a minute, it can take you from like sympathetic back into parasympathetic, which is your rest and digest. You're like, you know, taking you out of fight and flight and back into like grounded and centered. And breathing can do that so quickly. So when you're feeling like, oh no, this is becoming bigger than me, going down the rabbit hole, as he said, that breathing is a very quick way to just like reset the nervous system. Taking a quick nap during the day. So if there's, you know, some people are like, oh, I just need like my 5 minutes. Absolutely. Like take the 5 minutes. They say that if you even up to 20 minutes, that if you feel like you need to have a nap, what I'll usually do is reach for a coffee.
Third or fourth. Should probably,
you know, you think I just need a boost. Actually, probably what your body is telling you, you just need to reset, and a quick little nap up to 20 minutes. So even if you have to set a little alarm, but up to 20 minutes, that resets the nervous system. And then you're ready to come, you know, back into action.
Or a little bit of Bailey's caramel. That was thank you for setting that up. That was great, Teresa, honestly.
Thank you.
That was a very good conversation.
Good.
Cool. That's it. We're out of here. Feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders? You're not alone. Working in the trades can be tough, long hours, physical demands, and the constant pressure can take a toll on your mental and emotional well-being. It's time to invest in you. Steps to Happiness Coaching offers personalized support to help you manage stress and improve work-life balance, build resilience and overcome challenges, enhance your relationships on and off the job site, and find purpose and satisfaction in your work. Life coach Teresa Greco understands the unique pressures of your world. You'll learn practical tools and strategies to unlock your inner joy. Let her help you build a stronger, happier you. So don't let stress hold you back. Schedule a free consultation today. You deserve to be happy, because life is too short to be anything but. Check out Steps to Happiness Coaching at teresagreco.ca or email Teresa at stepstotruehappiness@gmail.com or connect with her on IG at @TeresaGreco_steps to happiness or Facebook Steps to Happiness with Teresa Greco. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.